Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
For coming forward with a lot of information and insight. I was questioning myself, are you worried about how Frisco will respond? Are you worried about how PR will respond? Are you worried about how Dak Prescott will respond when the big headline tease for that segment was Dak and McCarthy had a bad relationship? So I give you props for coming forth with it, number one. And now my cross-examination. Okay.
I plead the fifth.
And don't take these as personal attacks until I personally attack you. So all that you just went through for the last 40 minutes was the driving force and cause for your intense dislike for Mike McCarthy? Because my follow-up to that would be, obviously, over five, and I've always said this to you on air, off air, if you think Jason Garrett was that much better dealing with Jason in interviews or anything than Mike McCarthy, then you know, and I make fun of you and I do this to get under your skin, then you were still blogging. You were still recording your own little podcast. You weren't around Jason enough. Aren't the majority of pro sports teams and head coaching relationships similar? And isn't everyone going to have dysfunction, strife, disagreements? How uncommon was this? And why did 40 minutes of that lead to such intense dislike from you towards Mike?
So I think when you talk about, if I were to say to you, I'm just going to blindly set up, describe a job situation. And I say, a coach who was oftentimes thin-skinned and heard every bit of criticism and let it impact personnel decisions and representations to the front office about players and led to tension and petty dismissals and things like that. I think that when I say that, a lot of times people might guess that's Josh McDaniels or that's Matt Patricia or that's something like that. And so I think that because there's not as much of a harsh side of it and it's a friendlier demeanor, that a lot of times it's easier to dismiss what are still actions that, when done by somebody who's a little more gruff, are universally agreed on as just that's not good. That's not somebody that is operating in an upfront manner.
So if there was the guy, I can't remember his name, special teams dude, long flowing hair, Michigan guy. I think that was him. He was at the Patriots.
Joe Judge.
He was a player. Blonde hair, whatever. He was like a mole in the Patriots, and Bill got rid of him. I was like, I'm not dealing with this. This crap's not here.
Mm-hmm.
We applaud Bill for that. Amari was a mole or whoever was the mole, and you know Amari didn't have good practice habits. Bill Belichick gets rid of guys without good practice habits.
No.
If you don't practice for Bill that week, you don't play.
Well, I mean, I would say all of Bill's assistants pretty much universally have been viewed as toxic coaches who don't operate within the bounds of what they think the NFL should be. Like, the league has pretty much determined that. Second, the entire league had pretty much determined this year they didn't want Belichick around. And the last two cycles determined we don't want Belichick around. So I don't think anybody, we can't talk about praise. As long as they're winning titles, fine. But a lot of the stuff that's existed out there was just they rose above it. And Dallas was a 12-win team. Dallas was in a position to win divisional round games and do different things. They didn't, but that doesn't change the fact that the context of it is still not positive. And I don't think anybody says, oh, well, Bill's awesome for doing that, though. Like, I think anybody who looks at that would say that that's sideways. But you got to remember is that there was not even necessarily like a mole thing, but just a thought of Amari as just being, it spoke to more just paranoia almost about the way people viewed him or were talking about him and letting it influence his decisions instead of just actually looking at football decisions. And on the same hand, on the flip side of that, he had somebody in Rob Davis that a lot of people in the locker room felt like was a mole for him. And he wanted that on his side to gather intel and to do different things. So it's, again, it's inconsistency.
Are you surprised that Dak ended up advocating for Mike's return and Dak went to Mike's family home in Pittsburgh after what you described?
No, I don't think Mike's a bad guy. I think Mike's a bad coach. And I think that Mike was never prepared for Dallas and how to operate professionally in Dallas. And I'm not surprised that when Mike relinquished some of what felt like those insecurities enough to just trust the quarterback to operate the way he needed to, then I'm not surprised that they were able to then mend fences and have a good relationship and be able to trust each other a little bit more to make decisions. Like where Mike was able to influence Dak more and Dak was able to, I think all that is great. And by the way, I think a big credit here.
And what percentage of the time do you think that they weren't on good terms?
First 3.5 years, basically. Almost four. And again, it wasn't as clear as just bleep you. It was not Aaron Rodgers standing in front of him and going dumb bleeping call. But there were similar frustration levels. And I think also part of the reason why he wanted Kellen out, Mike did want Kellen out. I think part of the reason he wanted Kellen out is because he felt like the tension that Mike had with Kellen was never going to allow him to win with Dak. Because Kellen is Dak's guy. And that was going to poison. There was way too much concern about this person's poisoning the well for me, this person. And there was a purging over time that made this team weaker just to get to a point where you felt like you could have those interactions. Now, again, like I said, I think he and Dak got to a good place. And I think that genuinely Dak said a lot of that stuff sincerely and means it. But just like with Aaron Rodgers standing up there in 2022 and saying, I love Big Mike. That's my guy. And Mike saying, oh, I love Aaron Rodgers. In 2017, if you ask both of them, they're not saying they love each other privately. They're not doing it. And that mattered to the story of why did Mike not end up staying around in Green Bay?
My contention is that, you know, a lot of these things are common in all organizations. I can tell you stories behind the scenes that I've heard about Corey Seager, Marcus Simeon. We all heard the John Daniels stuff, Nolan Ryan, Chris Young, Chris Woodward. I have stories on all of them that are kind of similar. Casey Smith, Nico, Luca, Mark Cuban, Jason Kidd. I have those stories on all of them.
Yeah, when you work in a highly competitive environment like that, you're
going to. Or just anything. Stress. We have stories in this building. Yeah. We have all similar stories. Does it just come down to whether you're winning a championship or not in determining how much worse that CEO or involved party is? The dynasty, if you watched it, obviously, they had issues.
Right. So if you have Brady, that's obviously different in a lot of respects. But also, I want you to think of the stories that you have.
And what I would say back is, why indict Mike so much when he doesn't have Luka, Brady, Rodgers to cover up what everyone does and deals with?
That's why I say, like, I think there's a thought from a lot of people, and you can have a disagreement over this. There are people who would say it's impressive that they get to 12 wins. That's a credit to Mike that they get to 12 wins with the dysfunction, whether he caused it or not. And then there's other thought process that says this was a 12-win team that should have been a 14-win team in a couple different years and should have been a number one seed and had home field advantage and been better prepared and weren't too consistently. There's a little bit of that exists. But I'll say this. The stories that you talk about that you think are similar, I would say as you just reflect on them in your head right now, probably without having to say what they are, as you reflect on them, when you're talking about the leaders and decision makers, a lot of those guys are not here anymore. I think you would say some of the stories you know are probably the reasons why they're not here anymore. And so there was a reason for that. And even the people who are here, did those instances occur to where it was almost like each year where they were close to having success and it got blown up? Was it a internal, like, this is the story of this season internally for us? 2021, Amari Cooper's tension there was an internal story a lot of the year. 2022, the interception issues and Tyler Smith and Connor McGovern not being able to make checks and that struggle for trust, that was a big issue. 2023, is this offense working? Nope, we got to push back against some of this. That was a big headline for a lot of the culture. So when we talk about how good is the culture, and these are the kind of things that I think you point to and go, this is why there's questions about the culture and why there's questions about preparedness and why ultimately they may have fallen short in those years is because of direct things that Mike didn't do right.
But to his point, like, if you don't have Rodgers or Brady or something like that to cover it up, like Andy Reid before Patrick Mahomes was a letdown of a head coach. Like, he got you to the playoffs and he always did something wrong, clock management, whatever, to never get anything right. He was not going to the Hall of Fame.
Okay, so let's say,
you know, then he gets Superman out there.
So if you don't have one of the 2 to 3 rarest people on earth, and you're probably generation, once in a generation, twice in a generation type of guys, then as you're evaluating the process, you go, okay, well, I need to control what is in my control. And yeah, all right, Brady can be, but if you don't have Brady, you know what? Belichick probably does get fired for those things earlier than he did. As soon as he didn't have Brady, he got fired pretty quick for it. Because it was, okay, this is toxic. People, we need somebody who can elevate this. This is somebody holding us back when we don't have Brady. This is somebody holding us back when we don't have Mahomes. If you don't have those, and nobody's, and that's not a slight at all, Dak saying Dak's not Brady or Mahomes. There's two, there's a Brady and there's a Mahomes. That's it. If you have a top 5 quarterback or a top 6 quarterback or top 10, whatever else you want to say, you're looking for where's every advantage I can get to make this operate to where we can win.
Here's my big final bow on it. And it would not be the return of Bobby if we didn't have some type of little tussle. It may happen right here. I completely agree that Mike McCarthy needed to be changed out. Choppy was the bigger Mike McCarthy supporter in the room. I don't believe that Mike was tough enough on them. He didn't fix the penalties, the culture, the sharpness. I never saw a true coaching advantage with him the way that I believe the Dallas Cowboys head coach should have. My opinion on you is that you know many instances behind the scenes of McCarthy having rabbit ears and being too oversensitive in the position that he's in. In many ways, stories we never heard about Jason behind the scenes, and you could not let go of that personal disgust for Mike's rabbit ears and oversensitivity. I'm not saying that I disagree with you in terms of like the coaching and what was missing, but I think that's something that you cannot get that venom out of your veins and bloodstream.
No.
My opinion.
Look, here's the thing. it's not a secret. Maybe it's a secret to people listening. Like, maybe listeners assumed it or didn't know it. I can with 100% certainty tell you, Mike McCarthy knew everything that I thought about him, and I know everything Mike McCarthy thought about me. I know Mike McCarthy didn't like me. That's fine. Like, I was calling for him to be fired for 3 years. I wouldn't expect him to like me.
Bobby's got a conscience.
Yeah, Bobby's got a conscience. That was not just a joke. There,
and Mike
guys.
And Mike did a tremendous job of hiding that on here with us for whenever you joined the show. Yeah. He did a great job.
He was a pro with it, yeah. And I feel like, again, when people say, there's a lot of people I think, oh, that's cowardly. We have an understanding of what we think of each other. We're doing an interview. We're professionally going
to
do it.
But you have to admit that a lot of this is there's context to a lot of this, and it's all based on where your bias comes from. I like Mike. So
yeah, you do.
I would look at things from a different way. You don't like Mike. Like,
I want to make it clear, I don't like Mike because of these things, though. I don't like Mike, so I view these things negatively.
I just want to put us into a bizarro world here. Derek Holland is a White House reporter. And next week, asked to do a 4-year recap of the Biden administration. How do you think that's going to go?
Yeah. Negative.
Right. Right? I mean, like, that's the point. Like, I get where you're coming from, but do your sources like Mike? If your sources didn't like
Mike... Yes. Okay, no, well, no, yes. Like, they did.
All right.
So here's the thing I want to say, though.
But you see what I'm saying?
Take me out of it, Chop. Do you think those are acceptable things to have in a culture and a head coach? If those things are true,
I think.
Take me out of it in opinion.
I think that the Tyler Smith, Joe Philbin stuff, why would I not trust what my coach says over what my quarterback says? Like, why would
coach and your offensive coordinator who is above the assistant coach.
Okay, but the assistant coach has been in the league for 50 years, who has seen everything. Like, but you know, you
this
have
is the
to
first time you've leaned on 50 years as being an argument in favor
well,
of
the
coach.
Well, I'm just saying, like, why is a position coach, why would I not, why do I have a position coach in play if I don't trust what he is saying? If he says he's with that guy more than any other coach in the offense, why would I not trust his assessment of it?
Right, just like why wouldn't he trust Mike Nolan? Why wouldn't he try? No. Hold on. Chop, you said something. I'm replying to you now. Mike Nolan, Jim Tomsula, Joe Philbin, others that exist across the board. There is the when you talk about the bias that I have and how that would potentially influence it. You want to talk about a bias that Joe Philbin had against Tyler Smith. Joe Philbin from day one did not like Tyler Smith. He didn't like him. Didn't want him. Didn't want him out there. That's a bias to then report back. He can't handle it. I don't care what he's shown us in training camp. I don't care how he's grown. He can't handle it. That's a bias. Connor McGovern was not his pick. That's a bias. He would have never had
sure.
Connor McGovern.
No,
he was already on the
right.
roster.
You're right.
So those exist for those guys.
We'll take a little Cowboy break. Appreciate it once again, Bob, coming through with all the information that you shared. The Dallas Mavericks get cheated. Quinn Ewers makes his decision. And we got more filthy fallout from the Eagle fan who got found. Next on Sean and RJ.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hawkins picked up this dribble. He's in a bad spot. Turnover! Turnover! Dallas is out of timeouts. They won the floor. Dinwiddie is blocked. 2 seconds to go. And the Pelicans are fouled. Is there a possibility of a goaltend? That's what the Mavericks want. Here's the shot by Dinwiddie. That's goaltending.
Goaltending all day.
That is goaltending.
All day.
That hit the board first.
Followell and Derek Harper with the call of the Mavs getting cheated. Dinwiddie off the glass. Mavericks were down one. Referees missed it. Mavs don't have a challenge. And the New Orleans Pelicans without Zion beat the Dallas Mavericks without Kyrie and Luka, 119-116. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Bell with you on DFW Sports Station. An AEW ticket giveaway is coming up at 9 o'clock. I loved Dinwiddie's explanation on this. He went into great detail. And he's like, look, go back and check my film. I made a lot of money with this same type of move. I'm tall, so I feel like I can get that layup over defenders. And number two, I'm trying to go off glass as quickly as possible so that if anyone touches it, it is an automatic goaltend and 2 points. And the Mavs did not get the benefit.
No, they didn't. It wasn't one of those things where it was like it hit the backboard and then bounced like a foot.
Not the easiest live call.
No, not the easiest live call to make. Under replay, probably gets overturned unless there's... I read some technicalities in the rule that the ball's got to be above the rim. Hits the backboard, it has to be above the rim, but doesn't say if it has to be the entire ball because at least half the ball was above the rim there at that point.
Yeah.
So it was like... It's one of those, like, at least half the ball was. So, probably gets overturned, but you got to have your challenges.
Yeah, let's beat a 9-win New Orleans team by more than just hoping for a bucket and a call at the end. I get it's a bad call, and it should have.
Is that what they have, 9 wins?
They did. They're 10 wins now because they beat you. But they're a bad New Orleans team. I understand you didn't have Luka, you didn't have Kyrie, but that's a bad New Orleans team without Zion Williamson, and Daniel Gafford is eating in this game. To me, it just finished the game off. You're up 7 or 8 with 5 minutes to go. Just finish it.
Did you see the jaw dunk that did not count against Wemby?
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. Go to my Twitter account, 1053SS. Someone said, was Jaw's dunk on Wemby the greatest didn't count dunk in NBA history? Now, at the end was probably a little bit more of a throw-in. I don't know where everyone stands on counting dunks when the hand does not touch the rim.
I don't count them.
You don't count them?
Nope.
Okay.
So the what was the Dwight Howard one years ago he threw in?
Yeah.
Well, there was like Blake Griffin, he did this like every week.
Richard Jefferson had a dunk here in Dallas that didn't count. That was really, really I got to find that one. But
I would lean on not counting this as well. Although I love that Jaws going back to the hole again after the Mavericks game. And he's like, I'm not trying to dunk anymore. I'm trying to stay healthy. I'm like, dude, you might be the most exciting dunker in the entire league.
It's a little semantic-y because he was like an inch from the rim.
Yeah.
That's a little semantic-y.
Why didn't he grab it then?
Well,
why didn't he make contact with the rim?
Well, because
it would have been a dunk.
Yeah, Wemby was there and he was bodied out. So I think that's dunk enough to me.
I think this was the one. So this was the one that Jefferson had that didn't count. I'm gonna put it over here to the side for you, Sean. So right here, this was the one for Jefferson that didn't count, where this was contact with the rim. But he was called for an offensive foul. It was like him like pushing his arm out or something like that. But that to me, that's a better dunk than what Ja just did.
Dunk. He grabbed the rim.
Because he grabbed the rim. Jaws is not a grabbing the rim. It doesn't count.
You're an idiot.
No, I'm not. It doesn't count.
You have like Roy White, Luka dunk takes. To think that you, first off, you
that
said.
That is better.
No, it is.
No. Ja didn't even
and
grab
you
the
said
rim.
The Duke dunk the other night was better than the LeBron
You're the new Roy. I would give Mike McCarthy credit for that dunk. That's how good that was
good
right there.
Gosh, Bobby. Yeah. Jaws compared to that? You're crazy. All right, LeBron James. Many people thought he was crazy when he said, NFL on Christmas Day, we own Christmas Day. Well, he went on the Kelce podcast, and they're like, how do you feel about that statement now?
Who owns Christmas? According to you, I love the NFL, but Christmas is the NBA's. We are sneaking in on that territory now.
I saw the f***ing numbers after the fact. You guys kicked our ass, all right? Okay. From a viewership standpoint, y'all kicked our ass. The games weren't as great as they should have been.
I thought it was a pretty good game.
Well, you have f***ing Beyonce come out there. Pat Mahomes and Travis, you guys go there and kick Pittsburgh. You know, when you go out there, you got your little brother and he may get beat up one time. You're like, hey, we didn't lose that fight. We're staying here.
Yeah, we
didn't lose. That's how I felt. I had to stand up. I had to stand up for the NBA.
All right, so LeBron backing off that.
He's so lame.
He's backing off it.
Yeah, I know, because he's sitting there.
Give him credit for admitting wrong, unlike you.
He's sitting there around powerful friends. That's what he's doing. He's sitting with the brawny paper towel man and jab this Kelce. And that's all he could do. He's got to cower back and be with his buddies there.
Jimmy Butler told Pat Riley, reiterated face to face, I want out. I'm not going to sign a new deal here. And I'm going to use my $52 million player option in the offseason only as a trade maneuver. This is being reported by Shams and the 7-game team-issued suspension. It may get extended.
It may. Now, did he call Pat to reiterate that to him from his private jet on the way to these games? That was one of the reasons why he was suspended. He's skipping shoot-arounds, but also partially linked to, instead of going to road games in the Miami Heat team plane, the reports say that he was chartering his own PJ to get to these road games and fly by himself.
I'm going to announce here, RJ Choppy, and I've been the most critical of Jimmy Butler of anyone, and I've done this for a couple years now. Fraud alert. Jimmy Butler's a fraud. This little fake team guy, Heat culture, do it the right way, number one option. He'll wake up for some NBA playoffs, and then there's a little history now. There's a lot of history that has developed. So I'm throwing out the RJ Choppy fraud flag alert on old Jimmy Butler.
All right.
And he's showing it right now. All right, let's get to the Eagle fallout and follow-up of this fan. Bobby, yeah. You were not in for this story.
So the Eagles fan that was, let's do this. He was banned, right, obviously, and he put out a statement. Okay, so he puts out a statement. His name is Ryan Caldwell.
I love the Cowboy fans who are trying to take the credit away from Big Dom, saying the internet already identified this guy, right? Big Dom didn't sit there. The way they're painting it is Big Dom like looked at the fit picture and he's like, I might know where that guy works.
Yeah, he put it into Google.
I could target this guy. Let me go into my Intel system.
Yeah.
He's got the facial recognition on his phone.
He does. So Ryan Caldwell.
That's
his name. Puts out this statement. While attending an NFL game on Sunday to support my beloved Philadelphia Eagles, an incident occurred I deeply regret. What began as banter with two Packer fans sitting near me escalated into something more serious, and I said things that were unacceptable. In the heat of the moment, I chose unforgiving words to address one of the fans, Ms. Allie Keller. I want to sincerely apologize to Ms. Keller for those words and to my wife, family, and friends, former employer, and colleagues, Packer fans, Eagles fans, Philadelphia Eagles, City of Philadelphia, all offended. And that's where, like, the good part of the statement kind of ends.
Mm-hmm.
All right, get that.
That's the bad part of the statement to me.
A typical guy apology.
Yeah. That was a pretty decent couple of sentences you said there. You said all the right things. That said, there are two sides to every story.
Yeah, here we go. This is what I like. Keep going.
Of course you would.
The video clip circulated does not reflect the full context of what transpired. My actions were not without provocation. I will live with this experience. I am certainly paying a personal price. For those who don't know me, this incident does not reflect my values or the respect I have for others and is not indicative of the person I am. It was a tough situation surrounded by hostile people, including two of his buddies. If I got physical, there was no good ending there.
You know how my time here will probably end? I'll probably say something I shouldn't. And then when I'm I have to come up with one of these apologies. Yeah. You're like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So I just wish.
You're as likable as the Eagle fan.
No. More authentic, at least.
Yes, more authentic.
More authentic. That's what I just don't like. I don't like that. I know he doesn't mean a damn word of that first half. Just be real. Don't. You've already gotten fired. So he was in the wrong. He's clearly a POS. I'm not sticking up for him as a person, but just be honest about what the situation was.
Like, you know. Don't blame it on the alcohol, anyone, right? Just say, literally, I went to a place I shouldn't have. That's obviously who I am, because it's on tape. I can't say it's not who I am, accept the consequences.
They didn't get what provoked him on tape. That's what he's saying.
That's what he's saying.
And now the boyfriend's getting criticized?
The internet remains undefeated, Sean. And, you know, they doxed that Philadelphia fan, the rude, crude moron. And they have now focused their attention.
What does doxed mean?
Released their personal documents, so their address, name, all that stuff.
Oh.
So now they focus their attention on the other man in the video, the girl's boyfriend, fiance, who he lives an hour from Philly. He's a Packers fan. They live about an hour from Philadelphia. And he posted that the Packers are heading to the playoffs. They're going to Philly. And he both goes, makes a GoFundMe to send him and his girl to the game. Trying to bilk Packer fans to send a guy who lives an hour from the stadium to this game.
Cause or a medical issue or something?
He said, this is the GoFundMe. My name is Alex. You may know me as Basarowski Productions on YouTube. The Packers are ahead of the playoffs, going to Philly, taking the number two seed. Things are gloomy in Packer fandom. One thing is for certain, I'll be confident in the team. If you didn't know, I'm born and raised in Pennsylvania. I'm 1 hour east of the stadium, or from an hour from the stadium. So I ask you, the fans, send me to Philly. Send me to the belly of the beast. I've done it multiple times, repping Packers proud. I'm fully ready to do it again. I've been cursed at, stuff thrown at me, and my first ever cheese head ripped off my head, thrown into a fire bin, but I sure as hell am not scared to do it again.
And this is how nice Green Bay fans are. There's no cancer. There's no cause.
Yeah.
It's like, he's one of us.
He's one of us.
Let's send this absolute nobody that no one's ever heard of, Yatramsky Productions, whatever the hell he's talking about on YouTube, and the Green Bay fans are that nice. But he's also getting called out as being like a soft boyfriend.
If someone calls your girl
I didn't realize that was him holding the phone.
Yeah. If someone calls your girl that, you get that on camera. You get it on camera, and the moment you get it on camera, like, you go to town. Like, you go to, like, there. If now she's not upset by it, right? You got to take a cue from her, right? If she is like laughing and not upset by it at all, and this girl wasn't, all right, then you could justify it a little bit. But if she seems even the slightest bit hurt by it, you cannot just say.
Plus, you got to size.
Please don't talk to her that way.
Plus, you got to size up the guy. He knows he could have taken him, so then you definitely have to step.
Now, the guy did have a position of higher ground.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to play that. Look, this is battle time.
Guy looks like Bill. Anakin. Guy looks like Bill Plaschke a little bit.
Do you remember a time where you ever had to do that? Where you ever had to step in? Where you're like, I don't want to, but she wants me to. Damn it.
No, I stepped in and she got mad at me.
Yeah, that's.
I can't stand that. I'll never forget that story. I'm like trying to defend her honor, set the tone early in the relationship. She's like, I don't want any drama. Well, let's go buy our own drink. It doesn't matter. He knocked it out of my hands. I'm like, he's soft, and I don't have to do it for my wife. She's scary enough. B-Lo, the belt. Bobby's talked enough in the last hour, so I'm taking it over. I'm taking over B-Lo, the belt. People are saying, you got to get Dion here. That means you have to get Shador here. We'll give you the realities of this media topic in B-Lo, the belt, next on The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. Over to you, Bobby. No, Bobby has talked enough today. In his return as Cowboys Insider, this is Sean and RJ for a reason. So I am going to take over B-Lo, the belt, on the home of the Cowboys. Choppy with a college football kegger at 9 and an AEW ticket giveaway. This is a subject that we have to cover out of responsibility. All the Deion Sanders talk and hype must mean the Cowboys will then figure out a way to get Shador to replace Dak. Now, Shador was at the Maverick game the other day, sitting in the Joneses' seats. Very, very interesting. But before we get to trading Dak and replacing him with Deion's kid, Bobby, you texted me yesterday in the middle of the show that the Deion thing may have a little more legs than you thought.
Yeah, I think there's more There's more of an openness to it among people I talk to who think it could happen than they had previously lent credence to. But the longer it's gone on and the more they've just gotten a sense of things, then they're like, yeah, this is, I still don't think it's going to happen, but it's got more life than I initially thought. I thought this was just, it's kind of like the, you remember they reached a point where we went, oh, Belichick UNC interview, this is silly. And then they reached a point where it's like, well, I mean, I guess maybe there's something to it. And it's like, oh no, this is happening. So it's at the, there is something to it stage, but I haven't reached the, oh, this is happening stage like we did with Belichick at UNC yet.
I hate to do this because the only person who loves Cowboy hype more than me is apparently Mike Greenberg. He can't even stand up on national television. By the way, everyone on ESPN is just an outright, no doubt assertion and thought that Deion, he's the perfect coach. He's the answer. Like, no one has brought up, Deion hasn't won huge games at Colorado, and Deion has never coached in the pros. Like, no one on ESPN that I can find is questioning Deion as the answer for the Dallas Cowboys, and I find that pretty hilarious. I think some people are scared of Deion too.
Scared of being on his bad side?
Yeah, scared of like saying something about him, and then
maybe
because Deion will retaliate. Or maybe they just do believe in the culture that much, but there's no one. It's just like a foregone conclusion. Deion's the answer, you know. There's no question of Deion being able to. My number one question is, would Deion be able to reach NFL players? Would his style work? I texted three former NFL players yesterday.
All right.
And it was just like porridge. Peyton, what's the porridge reference?
You've mentioned before. I have no idea.
Oh, my God. The three little bears, no, you can't know that. Whatever it is.
So what? One of them said absolutely. One of them went, eh. And one of them said no.
One of them said hell no. Two receivers and a running back. One said hell no. Another receiver said I think so. And the running back goes, I don't know. Mm. And that's why this Deion topic is so perfect. Would Deion's style be able to work on NFL players? That's my number one question.
I think his style would work. It's fine. I think his style, I think he could relate to players fairly easily. The issue is, like, you know, so Deion in his 2 years at Colorado has beaten one ranked team, and that was the first game he ever coached. It was against TCU, who was a preseason ranked team and wound up losing like four or five games that year. So they weren't very good. You know, he hasn't had to beat any really good teams. That doesn't matter. Like, you know, he's going to have two kids picked in the top five this year. Like, that's on him. Like, he has done.
Maybe.
What? Could be on Pilar, too. I mean,
it could be part on Pilar.
She got some genes.
Yeah. But, like, you know. So
I don't know who's mom. I don't know. Are they both from Pilar? Are all the kids?
I don't know. I just like
what you said. That was a funny quote.
So, boy, I still can't stop thinking of that show, Deion running around there on a little, that little,
I watched
scooter,
it.
That little scooter he used
you
to have.
You know I'm a reality whore. Yeah. I watched it.
So, you know, yeah, I think Deion is fine for the NFL. Like, you know, I do think he's better for college. I want him to stay in college because I think he's really good. And I think kids need a father figure type as their head coach in college to turn them into young men. I think he'd be much better for the college game.
I agree.
From that standpoint.
Because what do you think, Bobby? Him calling people out, his very loud, public, you know, tactics, would that work on NFL guys?
I mean, people thought that's why Harbaugh had to go back to college. Not because of calling people, but just in general, the way he operates. They're like, that's a college style. It wears on people when you're dealing with professionals. A lot of people thought Jimmy was going to wear on people here in Dallas the longer he was around. Because it's like, you're going to wear on people who are professionals. Deion, I think, how much does the NIL era player change over the course of the next 15 years? Like, does an NIL era player have, is that a different mental makeup than the one that we've been dealing with for the past 15 years? Because if that's the case, then you're going to see college coaches start to transition into this where it's like, oh, you were with them through this development and you know how to handle this.
Can I get your permission without using names of giving the opinion of two very, very, very high people up in the Cowboys organization and what their opinion of Deion is?
Sure. Yeah. And without saying anybody. Just
I won't
like,
say anyone.
Yeah.
All right. This is my report. I'm stealing from Bobby. Below the belt. Sean Shreve segment today. Two super, super high up people in the Cowboys organization, not fans of Deion Sanders. Now, Do you think that's still the case? They have not been. Let me recorrect it. They have not been fans of Deion.
I mean,
they're two really important people.
There's probably a.
Well, there's only three important people in the organization.
Look, I mean, there's not a no. I mean, like there you could, it's broad in that. But I think if you, there are people you could absolutely, I think, say, all right, head down, let's work, like kind of just go, all right, move forward. And I think most everybody's willing to give it a, hey, if he wants a good slate here for us to move forward, then let's do that. We can work hand in hand and give it all a go.
Now let me destroy the ultimate dream out there, the fantasy, and I hate to do it. I love hype, but it's ridiculous and it's not possible. Adam Schefter on McAfee combined with Spotrac and all the cat people out there on social media on the reality of the Cowboys trying to get Shador.
I've spoken with Deion about that, and yes, in a perfect world, that's what he would like, to coach his son. If he were to take this job, that's not happening. We could cut out all the fancy football nonsense. The Dallas Cowboys cannot trade Dak Prescott and his contract to the Tennessee Titans for the number one pick. Do you think the Titans want to take on all that money of the highest paid player in football and make the, it's not practical. It's not realistic. If Deion Sanders were to take this job, he's taking it on its own merits. And he is giving up the idea for now that he's going to coach his son.
$104 million, dead cap, full no trade. It's not happening. Deion Sanders is not coaching Shador Sanders next year on the Cowboys.
Yeah. Now, look, it's possible from the standpoint that the Cowboys trade up to one without trading Dak. You're trading picks up to one. And then you play Dak year one. You have Shador 5 years, right? You got a five-year deal. After next year, Dak's contract has more.
You can't move on from him after next year. You got 2 years. You're locked in minimum.
Well, like this year is like $150 million or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't. It's not financially tenable.
Post June 1, it's like $40 million, right? $60 million?
No, not to bracket on. When it looks like a single number as bracketed on 2 years and not having him here, it's not financially sustainable. They can't do it. They're going to have to go two more years with him.
Now, did Denver not just show that you can eat a ton of money?
Denver's contract with Russell Wilson's not structured the same way at all as Dak's. Denver's had
what was
much,
their dead money?
Denver had many more, like, in terms of the way their contract was structured, in terms of they did not have a CD already under contract. They did not have a Micah Parsons coming up. They didn't have a Diggs already under contract. Tyler Smith coming up. They didn't have all this stuff in place that they could move around.
Russ has, oh man. For next year, Russ still counts $32 million of dead money under the cap.
Yeah.
So it was like it was over $80 million.
That's the update that I have. As I told Bobby on the phone yesterday, Deion's he's my number one choice right now. I can't keep my hand away.
Until week three.
I can't keep my hand away from the glow. All right. Say what you said back to me on the phone.
I'll say it. We get 3 weeks into that interview and he'd cancel it.
I don't care. I don't care about Deion's interview.
But you always threw the McCarthy interview back to me. It's like, it's better than Jason's. I'm saying, like, the Deion interview would go away. And through, you know what?
Because
like
everything
half the beat would be banished
everything
after
3 weeks. Everything that Deion brings to the news cycle overshadows what McCarthy brought and whatever would happen with our Friday interview. I also think, hey, you know, we're professionals. We'd be able to keep the interview going. I don't care about the interview on Fridays. That big glow, that big blue glowing light, I can't keep my hands away from it.
Does he help the team win?
What's the biggest check in his favor?
I think I can make arguments that he could.
What's the biggest check in his favor is like a coach coming in here who could help them win? Like what's the thing everybody talks about?
He knows the way.
But not just that, like culture. Like yeah. He'd set a tone. He'd do different things. I do think, and this is just my take on the Colorado thing, I think there's a bit of a phoniness to the culture there where he's established a public facade almost, but the reality is, man, he throws that offensive line under the bus a lot in favor of Shador.
That's true.
He does this or that, like throws this person under the bus a lot for Travis Hunter, where I don't know how, and you saw enough reporters out there who got stories of, man, this Colorado thing was bad, and there's a little bit of just only so much gets out of state media.
That first meeting he held, I'll never get out of my mind. That gave me a bad feel when he's like,
yeah,
to college kids.
The Louis, I'm bringing my luggage with me, getting the portal. It's he can't operate that way at the NFL level.
Right.
Because, you know, like these players.
And it is isn't it amazing that the flashiest athlete maybe in the history of sports is also talked about as culture dude?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, look, these players, college players won't clap back. NFL players would go back at him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, college players can now just get up and leave.
Well, they get up and leave.
And they did in droves at Colorado.
Yeah, they did. So, but there's still more money at the NFL where you can financially say blank you.
So you don't think it would work?
No, not without some sort of evolution. I didn't think it'd work at Jackson State, and I don't. It's worked to an extent at Colorado. I'd love to see how much it works after Shador and Travis Hunter are gone. But I mean, there would have to be some sort of evolution.
Even if Deion coaches here, it is not going to be Shador Sanders as the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. So get all of those social media followings off of your feed. It's not financially feasible or possible. It's not happening. 877-881-1053 is the Franklin Franco injury attorney text line. Speaking of college quarterbacks, Arch Manning would need to do what to be a successful Longhorn QB? Quinn Ewers makes his decision and everything else in RJ Choppy's college football kegger with an AEW ticket giveaway. Next.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.